In the 1200s, there was a great teacher of theology teaching at the University of Paris, St. Albert the Great. And he had a class that he realized and discovered, as any good teacher does, that the class was starting to call one of the other students dumb, that he was adult, because he was a shy student, didn't speak up much, and he's a very large fellow. So St. Albert the Great walked into the classroom the one day, and he looked at all the students, all the seminarians, and he said, "Gentlemen, I hear that you've been calling someone in this class a dumb ox. Well, I tell you that this dumb ox will utter a great bellow that the entire world will hear." Well, lo and behold, that dumb ox was St. Thomas Aquinas. And indeed, he uttered a great bellow that the entire world heard in his own time and continues to hear this to this age. That we continue to study the great theology he wrote for us. Continue to praise him as one of the greatest theologians of our church. That the students had formed a poor opinion, had judged poorly who St. Thomas Aquinas was. Have we ever formed a poor opinion of someone and discovered later that we were wrong? Have we ever judged someone badly and discovered later that our judgment was incorrect? Have we ever seen a sin and called it out for the sin that it is, but then realized later that the sinner had repented? That any time we judge others, we need to be aware that we may not have the full picture. That we may not be fair in our judgments of others. The weeds, the darnel that we hear about in today's gospel, looked very much like the wheat in their early growth. So it was really impossible to decide properly which was wheat and which was weeds. And you couldn't have that full picture. Aren't we blessed, though, that God has the bigger picture for us? That God is more merciful and patient than we are. This doesn't mean that we aren't to take notice of sin or to rebuke a sinner. We need to call sin a sin. There is certainly a need for discipline in our church, in our lives. But today's gospel is meant to warn against a scouring that is so thorough. A puritanical clean sweep that overrules God's patience, seeks to turn the church from a place of sinners and repentance into a germ-free and hence people-free zone. That we're going to need to depend on God's patience and his mercy if any of us are to stand a chance. The people who summon the wrath of God upon other sinners may end up destroying themselves as well. And we need to allow today's gospel to give us some guidance in finding that right balance, that life of virtue between the summons for reform in lives and the summons to patience. And Jesus gives us that guidance in four steps. He goes and he proposes another parable to the crowd saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seeds in his field. And while everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed seeds all through the wheat and then went off." Notice, everyone was asleep when the enemy sowed seeds. It's a great mystery as to why God allowed Satan to do this in the first place. But there's far less mystery as to why Satan has been so successful in our own times at doing this. The weeds, we can notice, are numerous and growing vigorously. And part of the reason for this is that we in the church have been sleeping, while Satan has been steadily sowing his weeds among us. You can go and think, many throughout the church have been in this deep moral slumber. That too many Catholics will watch anything, listen to anything, expose themselves to anything. That they just go with the flow, living unreflective and sleepy lives, being those secret agent Christians. That they rarely think of God, of his plan for their lives. On the whole, their priorities are more worldly than spiritual. That they're not awake and wary of sin, of its incursions into their lives. They're not outraged by what sin does. they take little action other than to just shrug and move on in their lives. That they seem to be more concerned with fitting in than living as that sign of contradiction to the ways of the world. In a way, we're now just emerging from a cocoon to find the world gone mad. And indeed, how mad it is if we look at the last 4 months. That we who lead the church, clergy and lay people alike, have to admit, though, this has happened under our watch. We've allowed this to happen. It's long past time to wake up to the reality that Satan has been working while we've been bickering and singing songs to ourselves. It's time to wake up, to go out. That there is work to be done in reclaiming the culture for Christ, of reproposing the gospel to a world that has lost it. And so step one in finding this balance between the need for reform and the need for patience is to wake up. And then Jesus continued, "When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder go to him and say, 'Master, did you not just sow good seed in your field? Where have these weeds come from?' And he answered, 'The enemy has done this.'" Part of the sobriety that we need to regain is the understanding that we have an enemy who hates us, Satan. That he's responsible for much of the spiritual, the moral, even the physical ruin that we see around us. We've been dismissive of his presence for far too long, as though he were a fairy tale that we tell our children to frighten them at times. And while we cannot blame everything on him, because we've made our own decisions, at times we've agreed to go along with him and fall into sin, to suffer from that weakness of the flesh and that susceptibility of the bad influence of the world, Satan is real. He is our enemy. He hates us. He hates our children. He hates the church. He hates anything and anyone who stands for holiness, who is trying to be holy. That we have to wise up, ask the Lord for an anointing. We don't need to utterly fear the devil. We need to understand, though, that he is at work. We need to learn his moves, his designs, his tactics, his tools for waging this war against us. Once we can recognize him, we need the grace to rebuke him at every turn, to turn to our saints, to pray for their intercession, to say the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, to rebuke the devil, to be careful. To wise up means to learn and understand Satan's tactics, but it doesn't mean to imitate them in retaliation. That waking up and wising up, some want to go right into battle against Satan in the worldly ways, though. Our Lord instead proposes paradoxical tactics that are rooted in the cross, not in the world. That wishing Satan in his tactics, wanting to go and fight him in those worldly ways, isn't that full frontal assault that Jesus proposes. That Jesus counsels humility to battle against pride, love to conquer hate, accepted weakness to overcome strength. To wise up means to come to the wisdom of the cross, to sacrifice, to suffering. Not the world. The Lord is not nearly as warlike in his response to his enemy as some reformers can propose to be. It's fine to be appropriately zealous for reform, to want to usher in change. But we need to be very careful of what wisdom we appeal to. That scripture says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he should become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." And so step two in finding the balance between the need for reform and the need for patience is to wise up. His slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" And he replied, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest." That we gone and already laid that groundwork for our Lord's rebuke of those overly zealous reformers. Today in the church, we're well aware of the need for reform. So is our God. He says clearly, an enemy has done this. Yet to those who want to go out in the church and root out every single sinner, kick out all these sinners, there's going to end up being nobody in it, our Lord presents a balancing notion. There's a need for discipline in the church, even for punitive measures from time to time. Fraternal correction is an essential work of charity, but conducted with patience and love. Our Lord is patient. He directs us to be prepared to wait, not to be overly anxious to pull out the weeds, to pull out the sins, unless we harm the wheat, harm the good. That Jesus says, let them grow together. He says that because the darnel, the weeds and the wheat in that early growth look the same. How can we tell them apart until they are fully grown? That it's at that time that's fully grown that the harvest comes. There's a place for waiting, allowing them to grow together. After all, sinners may repent. And the Lord wants the people the time they need to do that, to respond to His grace, to His promptings. And Scripture says God's patience is directed to our salvation. We need to leave it be. We need to wait, to place this in the hands of God, to give the sinner time to repent, to keep working and praying for that, not to act hastily. And in the end, we can't simply make a one-size-fits-all norm. And there are prudential aspects to the decision, and our Lord Himself speaks to that, of different situations in different ways, requiring different actions. In today's gospel, our Lord says we need to wait. This is good advice for us to follow. After all, how do we know that we don't, that we won't need more time ourselves? Before we ask God to lower the boom on sinners, we ought to remember that we're going to need His patience and mercy too. And Scripture says, the measure that you measure out to others will be measured back to you. We need to be very careful before summering God's wrath. For who can endure the day of His coming? And so step three in finding that balance between the need for reform and the need for patience is to wait up. To balance zeal with patience. And then finally, then at the time of the harvest, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weaves and tie them in bundles for burning. But gather the wheat into my barn. There is a harvest that is coming. Those who have sinned, those who lead others to sin and have not repented are going to have to answer to God, to our Lord for it. Our Lord is no pushover. He does not make light of sin. In telling us to wait, He does not mean that judgment will not come. His general advice is for us to leave it to Him. To us, He says, in effect, ask for you, wash up, get ready. Help others to get ready as well. Judgment day is surely coming, and every knee will bend to me. Everyone will have to render an account. Wash up. You're either going to be a saint or you're going to be an ain't. That for now, the wheats and tares grow together. That but later, the darnel, the tares, those weeds will all be gathered up and cast into fire. And so step four in finding the balance between the need for reform and the need for patience is to wash up, to get ready. How are we getting ready? How are we washing up? How do we remove those weeds, that darnel, from our lives? Then when we're ill, we go to a doctor and he gives us a prescription. When you have darnel in your life, you need a spiritual prescription. And the spiritual prescription that I give to you all today, since I'm that spiritual physician, the doctor of souls, is to pray as much as possible. Pray at least 10 minutes a day. Read the Bible. If you haven't been reading the Bible, start with the gospel. Start with the Gospel of Matthew. To read God's Word. If it's at all possible, come to daily Mass when you can. Go to the sacrament of reconciliation frequently. In the sacrament of reconciliation, we're not just being forgiven of our sins. We're also being given the grace to live out our Christian lives, to overcome those sins that we've been struggling with, to avail ourselves of the sacramental grace that God wants to give to us, to help us, to make it so that we can live out this life. That there is a balance. There is a life of virtue here we have to live. God is patient. There will be a harvest. And by God's grace, we have to get ready for it. And God right now says, wait. He says, wake up, rise up, and wash up. To live out that life of being a Christian disciple. To live out the life of His Son in our lives. So that we can be that witness to others in the world. So that they themselves will also wake up, rise up, and wash up. So we can be part of that abundant harvest of our Lord.